I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
Oh man, the old man's gone. Shane returns with The Walking Dead. The guys test their music knowledge and much more. So grab your spoons, because soup's served.
Welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast who sees child labor laws as more of a guideline than an actual law. Am I right? Hashtag. All right. My name is Janie, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
It's going good. Thanks for having us.
Doing excellent.
All right. Here's your $5, kid. Get out of here.
I don't need your $5. I have my own YouTube channel. Go subscribe. My heart sparkles. See you later. Oh, by the way, you're a nerd.
I'm not a nerd. You're a nerd.
Oh, I kids. Love it.
Man. All right. I guess I don't have to do an intro because she already did it for me.
Nice.
I guess so.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
Good. Self? Good. Good.
That's a lot of goods. Hey, My Heart Sparkles isn't a YouTube channel.
She does have a YouTube channel. I'm not sure. I thought that's what it was.
Don't give it up.
But did you spell heart like my last name?
Oh, no.
There Ooh, you go. Clever.
That didn't work either.
Okay. All right. So what's been going on this week, gentlemen? Anything interesting happen to you guys specifically? Not in the, you know, the news realm, but you guys.
No.
Just working, huh?
Nothing.
Working just for the man.
Every night and day. Big wheels keep on turning.
Proud Mary, keep on burning.
Vernon? It's only like Vernon.
Vern Troyer, yes. You got to keep burning.
Keep on burning. Every day I'm burning.
Hey, did you know what Minnie's favorite drink was?
Oh, no.
Verner's.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's ginger ale.
Oh, okay. In Ohio, maybe?
Yeah, maybe you guys don't have it. Sorry, no. Man. That joke. If you're in Ohio, they're laughing right now.
Yep. Uh-huh.
What do we have here, Adam? Uh-huh. Is it Schweppes?
I think so.
Whatever Schweppes ginger ale.
Sweaty balls?
No. It's Schweppes. The only thing I had news-wise, which ended up not being news, but I had a mini SNES Classic in my hands again. And as I'm walking through the store, I talk myself out of buying it and put it back on the shelf. Second time I've had one of those and had the ability to get my hands on one easily and couldn't pull the trigger, couldn't make myself do it.
Well, that's great because once again this week I did build another RetroPie. Well, I'm in the process. I ordered the parts. I got them all in. Just got to assemble it, but another RetroPie system. And I got to say, it's so much better. So much better.
Yeah.
So many more games. And I did order myself a little present. I ordered the, I told these guys about it, but it's a controller by a company called 8-Bit Dough. And I actually got the SF30 Pro wireless controller. Now, this is mimicked, to look like a classic Super NES controller. Actually, the Super Famicom version, or Famicom, however you want to pronounce it. The U.S. version had, the purple buttons, where this has the red, yellow, green, purple diamonds, stuff like that.
Horseshoes?
Yes, purple horseshoes, that's what it was. But no, it has the colored buttons, and it looks so much better.
Don't Blue touch diamonds? Me, Lucky Charms.
But what is so awesome about this is not only does it work with, the RetroPie, it works with PCs, Macs, tablets. Now I can actually play, I could try out some of those games I have with the controller and see how much better it
Whoa,
is than
you
touch.
Can play Ark on his tablet with the controller.
Big man on campus in here.
That game probably won't work, but I do have the Grand Theft Auto Vice City and stuff. I bet you that'll control so much better.
Yeah,
I bet.
I can see Jason sitting in his bed holding his tablet and then the controller.
I'm playing, guys.
He's got some crazy head-mounted contraption to hold the tablet 8 inches away from his face only because he can't see any further. And then he's got the controller down below, and he's moving all over like we used to when we played Mario Kart, and you're trying to turn and you're leaning into it. And
then I did not steer with the controller. That was you, buddy.
Then his wife's getting all mad at him.
All right. Well, anyways, I'm excited to get it. You know, you guys are just jelly, but it's going to be awesome.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly. What? I don't even think that's the right words.
Speaking of jelly, how many years does it take for a corpse to be in the ground before it actually does liquefy into jelly?
Depends. Was it embalmed or was it just, you know, dumped?
It's probably, you know, Richard Harrison will probably be embalmed. So how long would that take?
Never.
Oh, if you're embalmed, you never decompose?
No. That's why I can't watch Walking Dead, because when you come out, you look just as pristine as ever. Okay, I'm not being serious.
Okay, I was going to say, I think the body's decomposes.
No, you're perfectly mummified.
With makeup.
But you got to pull the brain out through the nostril, though, right?
In ancient Egypt, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what's interesting? That
was
they
Richard
say that
Harrison Egyptian?
He walked like one. Before we jump into that story, though, there was...
We've already segued into it.
But I want to go back to the zombie thing for just a second, because... Yeah. Everybody is buried in formal wear for the most part. It's suits and dresses. Like every zombie that would rise from the grave would be a formal event.
Right. And how come they're always just wearing like random, you know, office working clothes?
Can I tell you guys how stupid you are right now?
No.
Can I please explain to you how stupid you are right now?
Fine. I know you're going to go with zombies are of the existing living, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, they're like 99% of every zombie you see in The Walking Dead just died. They have not been embalmed or buried. They were killed by other humans interned, or they were killed by zombies interned.
All right, Captain Science. Richard Harrison.
I call that plot hole.
Shoddy writing. I call that cornhole.
What do beanbags have to do with anything? Anyways. Bunghole.
Richard Harrison, known as the old man on Pawn Stars, has died at the age of 77, unfortunately. His death was confirmed by his son and co-star on the History Channel, Rick Harrison, who called his father his hero. So the old guy that always wore the cool hat and just kind of sat there sleeping, no longer with us, unfortunately.
I was really into the show for probably a couple of years. I mean,
it's great to watch.
I would watch it constantly, but I haven't seen it in a few years. But yeah, I was big into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, ever since what's his name got thinner, you know, I didn't like it as much.
Chumley.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I stopped watching this, and I'm doing a little show notes surgery right now as we talk because I realize this might fit better right here. And I never got huge into Pawn Stars. Excuse me, but the one I did get into.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. My throat is allergy season. I'm telling you, it's terrible. My apologies.
Yes, every
listeners.
Week, the reason why you suck so badly is because of allergies.
No, it's summertime. I'm outside a lot more, and it is literally, we went out of town, so quick divergence here. Was out of town over the last weekend, and we were driving, and I could watch, it was like driving through, you could see walls of pollen just in the air. And
Kevin?
No, you'd hit it.
Oh, wait, that's Pollock.
Yeah, no, you'd hit it, and then the vents would suck stuff in, and I could just feel myself at times just get totally stuffed up. It was terrible. And right now I've been outside all evening and just stuffed up again trying to deal with it. But, you know, what I was going to say anyways was that Pawn Stars inspired a ton of other shows out there where we see people coming in trying to get a good deal on whatever it is. I mean, there's a ton of them. Once Pawn Stars made it big, there was a huge variety of these shows that came
plethora.
Up.
Plethora.
Plethora, yeah.
Plethora is a good word.
Plethora of Pawn Stars. But
pop.
The one
pops,
that I...
Pops. Oh, old man could also be called Pops.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that is sad news, you know, and this isn't to make light of that at all. But... when Kevin Smith of Clerks fame and everything else that we know and love him for, he had his show with his, you know, longtime friends, Walt and Bry, and then the other workers in the store, Ming Chen and Mike Zapsik. It was called Comic Book Men. It's run for 7 seasons on AMC, and it was kind of a similar setup to, in a lot of ways, to what Pawn Stars was, where people were coming in and trying to sell comics and buy stuff. And they did a lot of funny comedy stuff and had a podcasting element to it as well. And after a great 7-season run, AMC has decided to pull the pin and cancel Pawn Stars Comic Book Man on us.
Well, they might be canceling Pawn Stars too.
Well,
although
possibly.
It's not AMC, but
yeah. So that was kind of bummer news for me because I really do. I mean, I know a lot of people laugh about it because it's a show about a comic book store, you know, and that's not everyone's thing. They had a great
and there's
time
already
slot.
A really great show about comic book stores that is actually number one on NBC.
What is that?
Big Bang Theory.
Oh yeah. That's not a show about a comic
Adam's
book store.
Like, hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a story about a comic book store, but it has a prominent comic book store in it. It's like Central Perk for the Friends.
Yeah, I could see that, but I don't consider
it. Did I just lose my man card because I knew Central Perk?
Yeah.
No. Yes.
You are smelly cat, but anyways, they would do some really cool stuff on there. There's a lot of fun with that, but the news comes out, and you know they thought there was no way this would happen. If you listen to the most recent episode of Smodcast that's out right now, they do what they call a Viking funeral for the show, where they kind of just talk about their favorite moments and cool stuff that's happened for the you know for all the guys involved as they've been doing this. And they all kind of thought because Kevin Smith was involved and he just had that massive heart attack and all of that, that there's no way they'll cancel the show this year. Everything was going great for him. And just at the last second, they pulled the pin on it. But supposedly they are in talks to see if another network wants to pick them up, which would be pretty cool.
Netflix,
but Hulu. I don't, you know, and that's the hope. Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, yep. Someone like that.
All those shows that just got canceled, they've been a bunch of them have been picked up by those streaming services.
Yep, that is true. I just don't know if Comic Book Men will get that because a lot of their audience came because they aired after Walking Dead and The Talking Dead on Sunday nights.
Ooh, and there's no more Talking Dead either.
Yep. So they had a prime time slot. And so it looks like AMC might be kind of switching directions a little bit, although they still have The Walking Dead. But, you know, kind of a bummer to see one of your favorite shows. I mean, it's like Impractical Jokers for me. Same group of friends in a way, because Brian Quinn from Impractical Jokers is part of the Tell 'em Steve Dave podcast, which is him and Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan from Comic Book Man. And so
that was cold in the middle of a room. Every time you say Brian Johnson, I got to dance.
Well, it's just the kind of TV, they're short episodes, half hour, 20 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah, 20 without commercials,
you know, and you could just watch them and enjoy them. And it's not like some major storyline. If you miss a show, you can catch up easy and you can just throw them on for some great, you know, entertainment if you want to kill a half hour or whatever. So always a bummer to see some of those go. But I thought that fit better there than at the end of the show since we were talking about Pawn Stars already. So
the first kind of Pawn Stars show was really Antique Roadshow, just so you know.
Who is still going strong.
Yeah, yeah, actually it is.
That's on PBS.
Yep.
Pretty and boring stuff.
You know the other one that came out on PBS? Was it? No, History Channel has American Pickers. Which was it's very similar. It's a couple of guys. I think they've added people to their team now. But
isn't it two gentlemen in a relationship that go out,
picking wedgies,
yard sailing?
Are they? I don't know that they're in a relationship. They're
no,
in a business relationship.
Yeah, I think they've got a woman that's part of their team now too as well. But they go out and they travel the U.S. and search through people's junk to find treasures that are, you know, forgotten about in an old barn or attic or whatever. And they pull out some pretty cool antiques in there. Yeah. You know, you see the same thing from, what's the other one, Storage Wars?
No, I did watch a lot of Storage Wars. Yep.
Kind of similar approach where people, you know, looking to buy and make money off of and deal with the antiques like you would see in Pawn Stars. Other people's junk becoming someone else's fortune. So not that Comic Book Men did that, but did you guys ever watch Comic Book Men at all?
No.
I think I watched one episode that you specifically asked me to watch, and I can't remember anything about it.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I mean, If you're a fan of Kevin Smith, if you listen to Dave or Smodcast podcast, Kevin Smith actually doesn't have a huge role on the show. His name is associated with it, but
he lost all that weight.
this is true, but he his part in the show was really only these the format of the show. The episode would start off, and it would be all the guys sitting around their poker table in the store, Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, and they'd be podcasting about, you know, kind of what happened that week. And so the other guys, Walt and Brian and Ming and Mike, would kind of share stories like, oh, we had this happening. And then they'd show, you know, they'd cut to the footage of, you know, customers coming in or different, you know, shenanigans they got up to and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of humor in it. And then Kevin Smith would only be there in these kind of scene setup type of moments. And so he wasn't in there in the store as all these interactions were happening, because he didn't want to. He wanted this show to be a place for his friends. You know, he wanted to show the world essentially how awesome his friends were, how funny they were, and how genuinely amazing they were, because everyone thought that they had their successful podcast and everything else just because of Kevin Smith's name. And truth of the matter is that they're very talented, very funny people too, and pretty awesome if you like that kind of humor and stuff. So
what you're saying is that this is a lot like a television series based on the movie Reservoir Dogs.
Not so much.
So what you're saying is that Facebook Messenger is getting autoplay video ads.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I
it's
heard.
It's like you were reading my mind.
Yep.
How did
and
you know?
I saw my first one actually yesterday or today.
Time to delete that app.
Or your whole account like I did.
Yes.
I'm
Adam
close.
Does not have to worry about this.
If it wasn't for this show, I might be able to do that, because I really have not been doing anything on Facebook much. I post something when I write my photography blogs and journals on my website. I post those articles, and the show stuff goes up once a week, and that is it. So I'm so close to being able to just ditch it. Maybe I should just do it and not tell anyone. I won't like hard delete it. I'll just like get rid of it off my phone and just not touch Facebook at all, and then see if anyone even notices.
So Stefanos Loukakos, who runs Messenger's ad business.
Say what now?
You heard me.
Is that real?
He says Facebook will monitor user behavior to decide if it's sticking with video ads or kicking them out at some point. He said the top priority for us is user experience.
Yes. No, I love commercials.
I love videos playing automatically when I'm trying to message my friends.
And I'm going to say this is the biggest load of crap, because what has Facebook been preaching since this whole Cambridge Analytica thing? We want to bring Facebook back to what it was meant to be initially, where it was you connecting with your friends and family. We don't want all the spammy stuff. And now they're putting this in their app. I mean, come on.
But Dave, think about this here. Zuckerberg lost a lot of money. Good. Having to go, you know, with all the court cases and stuff. He needs to make some more money. You got to put some ads in here.
Yeah, he doesn't quite have enough to get that switch.
Yeah. He's trying to save up money for the new PS5 whenever that comes out. I think this to me is just a very clear signal from Facebook that, yep, we're spending a lot of money on advertising to try and let people know that we're changing the culture. We're taking it back to how it was initially, a personal app between friends and family. And this is just them saying, yeah, we had to say those things because we've been in trouble, but, you know, nothing's changing. And you look at Instagram, they just released what they're calling IGTV. Now, this is, we don't have this in the show notes, but have you guys heard about this?
No.
So Instagram has Instagram Stories, which were, Facebook now has Stories as well. And essentially they're short clips. I forget if they're 21 seconds or 15 seconds, something like that. And you can shoot as many of them as you want, kind of like Snapchat, where then they disappear after 24 hours. Well, Instagram has now decided they are going to do what's called IGTV, which will let you post any length, basically long form videos, anything you want to do in there, right within Instagram's app. So kind of like a YouTube built in. And so they're going after all of it. And that's Facebook right there, because they own Instagram. So this company is...
HGTV is probably going to sue them. You're only one letter off from us. There's going to be mass confusion.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to think that IGTV is us.
Yeah. It's just... Way to start this off. Yeah. We're really starting this episode on a down note. I'm finding myself getting close to Railroad Martin territory again. Feeling annoyed.
You know, it's interesting. There's a Gizmodo article on this that I'm reading, and one of the they make a really good point in here. It says, considering that no controversy seems to be significant enough to stop people from using Facebook, it's not surprising that tests showed more ads. Tests showed more ads didn't really change how people used Messenger. People are like, screw it. We'll just keep using it.
Yeah, they'll just complain about it and then keep using it.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm going to have a talk with my wife because really I think my wife is about the only one that I talk to on Facebook Messenger occasionally because it's easier than texting at work or whatever. But get her off of Facebook Messenger, at least have her stop writing me there. And then it might be time to just get rid of Facebook.
Do you think the Punisher uses Facebook Messenger?
No.
If he wanted to punish himself, maybe he would.
Yeah. Self-Punisher.
That's a totally different comic book character. Self-Punisher. I hate myself.
He has like that whip that he's hitting his back with, you know, back and forth, all bloody.
You can watch him whip and then later, nay, nay.
What was that from? Was it Da Vinci Code or Angels and Demons, Jason? That guy that he had sworn to do that. Remember the bad guy in?
Yeah. Is that what it's from? I know it's
it's a religious thing that they used to do when they felt like they had sinned. It was a punishment they'd give themselves where they basically, there was something on it though that would slice open their back when they did it, and they'd beat the tar out of themselves and then have to heal up. But that's the reminder to not sin.
Mm-hmm.
But that movie was the first time I really remember seeing it where they had someone doing that to themselves.
Well, at least it can come back from, you know, that. You heal up a little bit. But how exactly is, you know, Shane going to come back from a shot to the middle of the temple?
Well,
in a flashback.
Exactly.
You think?
In a flashback, or maybe he's delusional like he was when he was seeing, you know, I'm talking about Andrew Lincoln.
When he was seeing Rick's wife.
Yeah, when he was seeing his wife and talking to her on the phone, you know, back when in his crazy days.
Hey, girlfriend.
Days.
My name's Shane.
So what we're hitting at here is John Bernthal, or Bernthal, however you pronounce his name, he is going to be back for one episode of season 9 of The Walking Dead. And this has to probably correspond with Andrew Lincoln's departure, who plays Rick Grimes, the main character on the show. And probably something's going to happen. Maybe he's mortally wounded and he starts to talk to his one-time buddy before he dies. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen. You know, he's dead. You know, Carl shot him in the middle of the head. So there's no coming back from that. So it has to be in a flashback, like Adam said, or he's in a delusional state. Andrew Lincoln's talking to him.
Maybe it's going to happen on the episode that good old Ricky boy bites the big one and dies.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
And he'll see him, though, after he dies, he'll be reunited with all of his family and friends. It'll be sweet. Like, here's what happened to Rick after he died. Or maybe they find a way to, you know, bring him in as a zombie that kills Rick.
He had a twin.
It's a twin. Yes.
We just watched The Prestige. There's a lot of ways this could have worked.
Yes, Tesla. He had a Tesla machine.
Yeah. No, we don't mean the car.
Yeah, yeah, not the
was
car.
It a Tesla Roadster?
No, it could have been with a spaceman in it.
What if every single zombie as Rick is dying?
This?
What?
Oh man, it's been a while since we had one of these.
Yes.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Digital Soup Game Show, or quiz show, whatever we want to call it. Could be a game show, could be a quiz show, could be, bet your life. I don't know what we're going to do. But from, Adam was telling me, and it's pretty amazing. Or was it Dave? I can't remember. I don't know you guys' voices yet. one of you guys mentioned to me that somebody had reached out to you and said, hey, when are you going to do another quiz show?
I did. I had told you that earlier today.
And it's amazing because I gave Dave a little wink because I already had something in the can.
Look at that.
And so not listener. A solid snake.
Oh. My goodness.
So listener, you know who you are. Just know that I did pass on the message, but you and Jason must be sharing the same mind because he had the same idea. So what are we quizzing about today?
All right. So in the past, we've done different audio challenges. I've played, you know, like the startup sound to a video console, which was a lot of fun. We did a music one where it was I played 1 second of a song and you guys had to guess what that song was. That was a lot of fun there. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it. You know, audio games are a lot of fun. What is another audio game that we could play, specifically with music, and could be challenging? And then I thought back to, you know, Queen's Another One Bites the Dust. And I was thinking about when I had that record that one time, and I played it backwards, and what it sounded like. And it did almost sound like It's Fun to Smoke Marijuana. Am I right, guys?
Totally.
It did. It's, it kind of sounded like
just
that.
Then.
But so what we're going to do here is I'm going to play throughout all the decades. I am going to play a track backwards.
Trackwards.
Trackwards. And you guys need to guess what it is. And I'll give you each a guess. You know, there is no buzzer. Whoever get, you both get a guess, and we'll see who guesses it right. And I'm going to play the track in its normal, you know, progression, and so you can see if you're right or not. And do you guys understand the rules?
We do. I do. But yes. Are you two things? Are you keeping score?
Yeah, I could keep score. I'll tally right here on my tally whacker.
Oh.
It's a stick that I write things on. What are you guys talking about?
Second thing, do we need to like talk briefly about each song so we don't get, you know, sued for copyright infringement? So we can
We will. We'll mention the name of the song and how much we enjoyed it.
Okay. Sounds good. Right,
we'll talk. Are you guys ready for the first song?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Now, is my music too loud? Do I need to turn it down a little bit?
If you're gonna play something else in background,
my game show?
Maybe just a little bit.
Yeah.
How's that?
All right. Yeah, that'll work.
All right. Here goes the first backwards track.
Easy. Got it.
All right.
How are we going?
We're each going to guess, and we're both going to get it right.
Just guess.
Steal My Sunshine.
Steal My Sunshine by the Lannisters.
Yeah, and of course I had to do that one because of the past episode, but yep.
So,
there we go.
The interesting thing about that song, in order to comment on it, is that it's got the sound of somebody hitting a hollow object.
Yeah.
And it sounds backwards and forwards the same, didn't it?
Pretty close, yeah.
It kind of helped you there. Now, like we had talked about in a previous episode, these two were not lovers. They were brothers and sisters.
What?
Our brother and sister.
Yeah, Adam and I are not lovers, no. And we are not brother. He's my sister. I call. No, I was. What's the word? What's the name for that? The term for that when a word is the same front and back? Onomatopoeia or something?
No. When a word is the same front and back, it's a palindrome.
Palindrome. Is there a different word for, a different phrase for it when it's a phrase that's the same, or is there not such a thing? Or it sounds the same? Frontwards and backwards.
A phrase. How can phrase sound the same?
Palindrome is if a single word is the same.
I went up the hill, the up I.
I don't know. Maybe we need to invent a word.
Next song.
Next song. Here we go. This one's going to be a little bit more difficult because we didn't just talk about it.
That's a tough one.
Let's see.
Let me know if you need to hear it again.
Was that was I think that was Outkast or Andre 3000 or whatever.
That wasn't
Is that it?
Yeah, it is. It is Outkast.
Hey Ya. Okay.
It's Hey Ya. Here we go.
1, 2, 3. My baby don't mess around because she loves
it. It sounded pretty cool backwards, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now, here's a little known thing about this song is if you watch the video, which I had never done prior to this setting up this bit, they got it set up like a 1960s Beatles introduction type thing, and he plays every character in the band.
Wait.
And,
Are you telling me you had never seen the video to that song?
I had never. I don't. I haven't watched videos since the 80s.
Oh, please.
Oh, please. No, but I had never seen that video.
So do I get a point?
And I did enjoy it. It was pretty good. So
yeah, Adam gets that point.
Yes.
I did not have that one.
All right. Ready for the next song?
That was tough, though. All right.
Yeah, it was a little bit, but I found I enjoy a lot of these songs backwards. I mean, is
okay.
That weird?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. The next song.
Oh no.
My guess is Hotel California, but.
Oh.
Yeah, and what is your oh no? Does that mean you don't know that?
I didn't know it, but that sounds right, so I don't want to take Dave's answer.
Yeah, Dave got it. We're all tied up, buddies.
Oof. You know what's interesting about that song is that it is not about an actual hotel. Just kidding. I don't know.
No, actually, I think you're right. I mean, I've never analyzed the lyrics, but I have heard that they're talking about something not too nice. Is that correct, Dave?
I think
it's a song about the dark underbelly of the American dream and about excess in America, which is something that they knew a lot about.
Yeah, basically about the perils of addiction and getting lost in that world of being, you know, coked out of your mind and not being able to get out of that funk.
But it sounds so pleasant when they sing it.
And it's got a pretty killer guitar solo.
Yeah.
Harmonizing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you both have 2 points. Let's go on to the fourth song. That gave it away right there.
I'm going to go with the Young Men's Christian Association, YMCA.
I'm going to guess that neither of you got it till that very last part.
No, actually, I got it.
Yeah, I had it about just a couple ticks before that.
Here's the thing. When I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, oh, these guys are going to think this is like Marilyn Manson or something backwards. Oh. And then
the horns.
Yeah. So there we go. They are correct. We are still tied at 3.
Interesting thing about that song is it's got 4 letters in the acronym.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
And there's 5 of them, so.
So one of them was left out.
Well, one of them just plays the role. See, 4 of them are doing the YMCA, and the other guy gets to be the one that's a bunch of letters saying, it's fun to stay at the.
Oh.
Or he's the exclamation point.
Yeah, that's true.
I hear what I mean. Yeah. No, what do you mean?
Solid snake.
Oh, we're never going to drop something.
He's got a poop in his butt.
Well, that's the reason why Dave is so constipated. He can't drop that solid snake.
It ain't solid no more. What?
Oh, man, bad.
All right,
bad.
So this next one, I don't think either of you are going to get. I'm just going to call it now. All right, here we go.
I know it.
That's the twist.
Yeah.
Are Chubby you just Checker. Saying yeah, Adam?
No, I was thinking of it too. I couldn't remember the name of it though.
Come on, baby.
Yeah.
All right, you both are correct. So
the
we're
backwards,
still tied up here.
Bop bop is what gave it to me.
The backwards boo bop bop.
Yeah.
So here's a little known fact. Chubby Checker only weighed 120 pounds.
What a classic tune though.
I kind of wish that's accurate.
You know,
I do not think that is correct.
Think about that type of music with that song in particular, The Twist. It would be very interesting to hear that style of music, but done like not by an artist today trying to just play a cover song, but like a current generation of music like that. That just makes you, it just has that feeling you want to just dance, but it's just that simple but extremely like, I don't know what the right word is.
Innocent?
Innocent. And but not only that, but like the songwriting, the craft in it was so, like you say, simple and innocent, but it was so effective.
So what you're saying is impactful. It'd be interesting to see a modern day hardcore rapper singing some of the fun rap style songs from the 70s.
No.
Oh, okay.
You know what's interesting already, though? Chubby Checker didn't actually write that. He was covering that song.
Yeah.
Because that is from Hank Ballard and the Midnighters.
Right.
Hank.
Classic right. Ballard.
A lot of those classic tunes that we all know, the version we heard that got famous was usually the second or third version of that song because they were just passed down.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Or outright stolen, like Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Every like song Elvis. They've ever had.
Actually, interesting. We actually did literally talk about this song.
Yeah. We
wow.
We know a little music, guys. Listeners, hey. Just so you weren't aware, we can do a little music talk.
Nice.
And we enjoy it because we enjoy music.
Yes. And
speaking of enjoying music, here's the next track.
Nice. I know it.
Yeah, I figured you guys would.
Okay, Dave, on three. One, two, three.
Happy.
I cannot believe you.
That's
guys
a happy sounding song.
Yeah, that's
is.
Kind of in that vein, though. Really, when you think about it,
it's a little more refined. You know, it's not
refined
same.
And polished. But it's that same vein that I don't know. It's not my style of music I normally listen to, but
makes you move though.
Dang it! If when I hear it, I can't help but bop my head and feel.
And the Weird movement. Al version is great too.
What was his version again?
Tacky.
Oh yeah.
Well, everything Weird Al does is awesome though.
Yeah, all we right. should have a full-on Weird Al episode.
And we'll have Willie from All Things Good and Nerdy on because he's the biggest Al fan I've ever heard.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we could get Weird Al on?
That would
be. Oh, jeez.
Well, I'm gonna find a Twitter. I'm gonna message him.
All right, well, let's go on to the next fantabulous song.
Easy. Yep. Dave's favorite song and his national anthem to himself shares Do You Believe in Love?
That had to be early auto-tune days, right?
Yes. Oh, it was.
Yep.
Little known fact, Cher's husband died by running into a tree while skiing.
Ex-husband, let's be clear.
Oh, man.
No,
there is still an open investigation. Cher is one of the prime suspects.
Little known fact.
Wow.
Not many people know this.
When she, after he hit the tree, she was coming down trying to help him, just screaming, I've got you, babe.
Oh my God. So he's looking back, giving his hand, and boom.
Yeah, that's probably why it happened. Yeah, he's down there showboating.
Do
like,
you believe
she's
in
waving
life after death?
Yeah,
that's terrible.
So terrible.
That is really bad. And I apologize if Cher's listening.
Yes.
I am sorry. That
if Cher's
beyond
real talk about this song real quick because, like we said, early days of auto-tune, and I remember that because. There are parts when you hear her as she's kind of, what would you call that? Moving through the scale of notes as she's mm-hmm. doing these falls and stuff in the chorus. You can hear it like audibly, almost 8-bit sounding, stepping mm-hmm. down.
Well, she sounded a lot like Danger, Will but Robinson.
They did that on purpose, though, for the effect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's intentional, and you still hear that a lot. And
oh, yeah.
Shade.
You know,
where it's almost that digitized, like
hard stepping between different, different.
You know, I
we should auto tune an entire episode once.
Oh, yeah. My name is Elsa.
That sounds like the bad guy from Kung Fu on the 8-bit NES.
No.
Rise
think about
from your grave.
Think about
double.
Think about that stepping down, you know, like they do that, like you say, Adam, for effect. With an artist like say, Mariah Carey or Christina Aguilera, where they do these amazing, huge runs where they're hitting, you know, tremendous ranges, but just these ups and downs all over. I want to hear someone do that treatment to one of their big famous runs, just to hear, like, it would remind me of hearing Sweet Child of Mine turn into an 8-bit Nintendo song, I think.
Nice.
There's nothing better than 8-bit music. I love that MIDI music.
That's pretty good stuff.
All right gentlemen.
Song. Where are we at score-wise?
Well, we're exactly tied.
Ooh.
5-5. And this is, unfortunately, the final song.
Okay. Mm.
And if you both get it, I don't know what to do.
It's time for a tiebreaker.
Yeah. No, it is. Maybe I'll just sing a song backwards. All right. It is a very difficult song, possibly. So let's go ahead and play it now.
I know it.
I don't.
Is it Rainbow Connection?
Oh, man, I love that song.
Boom!
Nice going.
Dave won!
Woohoo!
The winner is Dave!
I had a secret strategy I stumbled onto after I missed my first question, Adam. Maybe you were doing this the whole time.
Huh.
If I shut my eyes while the music was playing, I could figure it out super easy.
Oh, I was doing that too, but this one, it was...
I thought he was going to say, I just logged into our Dropbox and I saw all the tracks.
So
on there.
No, and it helps, though.
About rainbows.
I just watched not this past weekend, but the weekend before, with my youngest, while my wife and oldest were out in a movie, we watched the original Muppet movie, which that song was in. And so I literally just saw that song. I listened to it, nice. I should say.
Oh, so you were cheating.
Oh, like 2 weeks ago in advance when I didn't know you were doing a geek off, yeah.
I've got to be honest.
Geek off.
That song's got, that was good songwriting.
Yeah. Did you ever look to hear the American Idol winner, Matty Poppy, her version of that?
No.
It's pretty decent. She's got a kind of a interesting voice, like a folk sounding voice. Really, really enjoy her sound.
She sounds like your folks?
No. No. She's got a folk music sounding voice. Very kind of interesting, but she does a pretty good cover of it. And like I said, you know, a few episodes back, she actually sang a duet with Kermit on stage in the finale. So.
Well, and so did Tori Kelly did one of those. I don't remember which show it was on.
Who?
Tori Kelly. Familiar with her at all?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Fill me in. What's...
She didn't make American Idol, but is a signed national artist that does good music.
The name sounds familiar. I'm just not...
You have to Google her.
Yeah.
I know who Tori Amos is.
That's a little different.
A little different.
Just a little different. That was a good game show, Jason.
It was.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
So Dave is the winner.
Yep, Dave won.
Again.
This is good. Yeah, first time.
You suck!
You know what Dave has never won at, though? Dave has never won any of the Mario games.
Not true.
Not a single one.
Fake news.
No, true news.
You know what? I wish there was some article that would tell us what the best Mario game ever was.
Well, what if it hasn't been made yet?
What if it's just in theory?
That's so deep, man. Whoa.
So, Jason, you know what we're discovering again right now? Adam did his research on the show notes.
Well, we had to wait for you, so we kind of just went to the show notes.
I know. What this is, though, an individual here, I don't have the article pulled up right in front of me, but the gist of it is basically this guy made a video, and it's not high quality. He literally looks like he was recording his TV or monitor of some sort while he was playing.
But I think that was on purpose. The movement was on purpose because he could have put that on a tripod.
Oh, yeah, could have. But
yeah,
it looks
so
like
that
just
was part of the effect.
Yeah, proof of concept. And what he did is he started out with, Donkey Kong when he was just known as Jumpman. And then kind of blended in with some pretty decent, you know, fun little cuts and let the Mario game progress through. So you started out in Donkey Kong and worked your way up to, I don't know what they ended in, Super Mario World or something.
Yep.
Somewhere on, didn't go into the more modern ones, but just did these cuts where as if every level was part of a new game.
The transition was pretty cool. Like, picture the first board to Donkey Kong, mm-hmm. and Mario starts down at the very bottom left of the screen, and you know he has to make his way up to the top to rescue the princess from Donkey Kong. Well, he starts to move to the right, and all of a sudden he has like a second thought, and so he then runs to the left again, past where he starts, and falls off the screen into Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Now this is the single screen Mario Brothers, yeah. Not Super Mario Brothers, but Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting. And then he goes down to the bottom, and when he hits the I called it like the bump box or the slam box at the bottom. That's what made all the turtles turn upside down on the board. When he did that, it warped him into Super Mario Brothers, and him hitting one of the
boxes
that opened up the mushroom, and it went from there. So it was kind of like a seamless retelling of the merging of the different games. It was kind of cool, and he plops down into Super Mario 2, mm-hmm. which in Japan was, what was it called, like a Kuji Kuji or something like that.
unknown.
No, I'm serious.
404 file not found.
What?
Yeah, I didn't get your. Never mind.
It actually wasn't a joke. Oh. Super Mario Brothers 2.
I got it.
Super Mario Brothers 2 is actually totally different from what Super Mario Brothers 2 was in Japan.
Yeah.
There was a totally different game with totally different characters.
Yeah, they just kind of put Mario characters.
Yeah,
on
the front
of it.
Mario into it. Right. It was. I'm gonna look that up while you talk.
I
more
liked
about this.
That game,
Mario 2. So
yeah, it's different. It was
I, you know, as much as I love the original Super Mario Brothers, not the arcadey ones, the single screen. I mean, we're talking the NES, the one that launched with the NES. That game, I mean, I played to death, like everyone else who had a Nintendo. You know, we played that original Mario Brothers to death. I always wanted Super Mario Brothers 3, and of course, obviously, before that, we got the sequel. You know, Super Mario Brothers 2. And I honestly played 2 way more than I ever played 3. It had a totally different feel.
Oh, I did too.
But it was so fun. And the way they incorporated, because in the original Mario Brothers, there was never any difference between Mario and Luigi as far as their jumping or any of that. But Mario 2 is the one that brought in the, you know, the ability so that Luigi could jump higher or, you know, different things like that. Peach would float.
Yeah.
What was Toad good at?
I think he was maybe strong.
I don't know. But Mario was just kind of a good all-arounder, you know. But they all had different strengths, kind of. And that
kind of like the characters in ice hockey in NES.
Yeah, kind of. I just remember those creatures that would, they look like dinosaurs that shot eggs out of their face at you. And
that was Yoshi's.
No, they weren't Yoshi's. They were like these pinkish colored things with.
That was different than Yoshi?
Yeah.
It looked like a Yoshi.
Because they just had, they kind of looked like what Yoshi eventually looked like, but Yoshi wasn't in these games yet at that point. But they would shoot eggs, and then to kill, they were some of the bosses, I think, or one of the bosses early on, and you'd have to jump and land on top of the egg after they shot it, and then you could pick it up, because that was
I remember
you could
that.
Pick up the vegetables and throw them to hit stuff, and so you jump on top of the egg, pick it up, and then have so long of a window to throw it and knock off a health point basically against the other one.
So Jason, now let me just you're looking for Yume Kojo Doki Doki Panic.
Yes.
Doki Doki.
Which Doki translated Doki. Means Dream Factory.
All of that means Dream Factory.
Well no, just the first part, the Yume Kojo.
Oh.
Yume Kojo.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yume Kojo.
Well Jason
Here's another interesting fact real fast.
Yeah.
Was the actual Super Mario Brothers 2 that was released in Japan wasn't released in America until the Super Nintendo, and it was released in the Super Mario All-Stars collection under the name Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels.
Oh, really?
That was actually Super Mario 2 in Japan.
Little known.
Did you play Lost Levels?
Oh yeah, because I own that the Super Mario All Stars.
I don't.
Awesome.
I don't remember that particular.
It had all four Mario games on it. It had one.
I remember Super Mario All Stars. I just don't remember the Lost Levels. In particular.
Yeah, it basically looked like an expansion for Mario 1. It was the exact same graphic engine.
Oh really? Just new boards.
Just new boards. That's all it was.
Huh. Interesting.
That's why they never brought it over to the U.S. They wanted something completely different.
Okay. Well,
I was they wanted it done quick.
I was going to bring this up when we talk about, you know, this video. It's pretty cool to see how they transition Mario through all those different gameplay and generations of Super Mario Brothers. But, Jason, you were just telling me about a game, I think last night or the day before,
last
that kind of
yes.
does this already.
Yep, for role players.
Right, RPGs, you were saying.
And I actually own it. Did you happen to pick it up for $1.99
last
night?
I did. I picked up. They had it in a bundle, the first and second one together for like super cheap, $5 or something. So I picked them both up. It's called Evoland, right?
Yep, Evoland. And it's a fun little game. And Adam, if you've never played it, you should check it out.
What's it called?
Evoland. Evoland.
Oh, Evo, not Evo. Yeah.
Yep. Like Evo. Devo. Whip it.
Yes.
Whip it good.
And what the premise of this game is it's showing you the, you know, normally in a role-playing game when you, like, you know, you're leveling up and you're finding different armor weapons and you're getting your stats better, you're getting a stronger character. Well, in this game, you're leveling up the game itself. So it starts out monochrome Game Boy Advance graphics with no sound, and you can only move up and down, I think up and down or left or right, or maybe just up, down, left, right. That's it. So you're going through this game. You know, it looks just like it could have been on the original Game Boy. And all of a sudden you open up a thing and it says, you have found diagonals. Now you can move in diagonal directions. and then you do something. You defeat this thing that leaves a treasure chest. You open it up. You have now found 8-bit sound. As you're playing.
So it kind of continues to unlock.
Yeah.
You're just constantly unlocking stuff, and you unlock all the way up to like PlayStation 2 graphics. You know, towards the end of the game, your role-playing game now looks as good as a PlayStation 2 RPG.
So little known fact about this game when I was researching it. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the first one in the series. The second
one. Yes, I only have the first one.
Yeah, second one kind of picks up shortly after where the first one leaves off. And basically, you find out that this is made by Bethesda and it's actually Skyrim.
Okay, that's a joke, right?
Yeah.
You eventually work your way in at Skyrim.
Yeah, yeah. You don't even end with it. They just rebranded. That's just another Skyrim.
But to anybody that's listening to this broadcast right now, is that sale still going on, Dave?
Yep, the summer Steam summer sale goes through July 5th, and there are a ton of games with some really good prices on them right now. So be cautious if you're looking, because it'll be easy to spend some money in a hurry.
How much did you wind up spending last night, Dave?
About $80.
Are you serious on Steam?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But for
I'm
that,
calling your wife. What?
No, it's all right. Because that's partly why I put down the mini SNES Classic, because that's $80 also. And I thought, you know, I could buy this or I could just get some cool games on Steam for my PC. And I picked up a number of collections. So I got the full BioShock collection. I got Evoland, the collection. I picked up the Forest. Picked up the Metal Gear Solid 5 collection.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what you think of Phantom Pain.
Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, which I have on my PS3.
Yeah, I have it on the PC.
Yeah, I got it for my PC mainly because I just wanted to play it on my PC graphics and easy, and possibly be able to do some videos of it.
Yeah, and before you go any farther, Dave, mm-hmm. I really, really, really want you to do an Evoland. Don't play it until you can do a video of it.
Okay.
Because it's a fast game. You're gonna go through this fast.
Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, it's just so cool. And I wished I wouldn't have told you anything about it and you would have just jumped in and played
it.
Well, they kind of tip it off in the video.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. And yeah. I think Adam would enjoy it too. It's $1.99, Adam, for the first one, if you could spare $2.
I think the bundle for two of them, I think, was like $4 or $3.99 or something. It's if you scroll down there. But also picked up the brand new NBA 2K18. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I'm kind of jonesing for a current sports game of any kind. Yeah. And on my PC, that's about your best option right now. And then WWE 2K18 I also picked up.
I'm so jealous because I have 2K16 for both of the ones that Dave just mentioned. They were fantastic, by the way. Yeah. I mean, but that's 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of what they look like now.
I kind of grabbed those two. I was really hesitant to do it. If I wouldn't have grabbed those two, those are probably the two biggest ticket items on the... Well, NBA 2K18 was like $9. The wrestling one was like, I don't know what I said it was, $14 or something. It was pretty cheap, $9, something like that also, but pretty cheap. But they're not games I normally would play, but I used to play a lot of those games way back on the Xbox original and PlayStation, and like we talked about many times on the N64 with you guys, and a lot of the sports games and stuff too, PS1, Dreamcast, some basketball stuff like that. So it had been a while, and I thought this would be
the last wrestling game that I had played, and I told you this when I got the 2K16, and I think you're in the same boat, Dave, is I think SmackDown 2 was the last wrestling game I had played. I had never bought any of the 2K series because I believe they debuted on the 360, did they not?
I don't remember. Oh, no, there was some wrestling game I used to play on the original Xbox, I thought, but it could have been... could have been SmackDown 2 on the PS1. That's possible. So it had been a while. But I figured, it's quite a haul. I mean, you look at all of that. I mean, it's going to take me 10 years to get through it because I just don't play games that much. But a ton of pretty awesome games. None of them that are brand new except for the wrestling and the basketball. A lot of them are a little older games, but super awesome looking games and stuff that, I've been wanting to check out. And $80, when you look at buying a brand new game, a lot of times $60-$70 anyways for...
Oh, yeah. You got a lot of game for $80.
Yeah, and that's why I was okay with it, because to me, I looked at that and I thought I got just as much or more out of that $80 than I would have out of that mini SNES Classic.
Oh, yeah, way more. So what's your Steam haul, Adam?
$0 spent. Doing pretty well. Doing pretty good.
You and me are in the same boat. And when Dave was telling me about all this, I'm like, oh, I can't. I can't do it because I hit the PlayStation Network sale, and I told you guys all the games I got on that.
And I've got a bunch of other games I haven't finished yet, and it's cool. I just gotta. There'll be more sales.
You know why I did it? The main reason I did it is because since I got this gaming PC, this new rig here last fall, I haven't played on my PS3 much, and I've got a handful of games that I do want to go through and play on there as well.
Your computer blows the PS3 graphics away.
Oh, for sure, and I'm enjoying the graphics. So I figured, you know what? I want to just build up a little variety of a library, because I really didn't have much for games before that. I had Ark, I had Witcher 3, which I still need to play through more, and I picked up a couple things, Raft and Rhyme, a couple...
Yeah, you've got a good
like
collection
that.
Now of a wide variety.
Right, and so I felt like I needed a variety of stuff so that if I was in a gaming mood, I could just jump in and not have just the same three or four games that I'm only looking at, So this way I've got enough. These will last me a good long time, with the exception of if we all jump into Fallout 76.
That's true. Actually, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, we might have to do that, but...
like nightly.
Whoa. Daily and nightly.
Throwing like a harpoon.
Hey, so Adam.
Yeah.
What time is it?
That's what I want to know.
I want you to hit it.
It's time for a geek off.
I couldn't remember which note
messing
I played.
With you.
Well, in the geek off this week, I know we kind of said it ahead of time. Let's limit the gaming talk on this episode because we spent all of last episode.
We just did.
Yeah, and we ended up talking games anyways. We knew we had a couple stories with Mario in here and stuff, so that's all right. But I didn't want to do another geek off based on games because we've had quite a few of those lately. Can't talk all of a sudden. So first, I was thinking we had a Kevin Smith story. And what could I do around Kevin Smith? I was originally going to ask, what's your best Kevin Smith movie and why? And I thought, nah, that's too obvious. Favorite character, why? And then I decided, no, let's go with this. What movie out there, any movie, be it a favorite, be it a non-favorite from the past, what movie would you love to see Kevin Smith remake or reboot with his flavor?
Clerks.
Well... he
that's
did
his.
And Clerks
I
too.
I think Dave's saying what isn't his.
Yeah, what non-Kevin
Smith. I know. Jeez, guys. Not that dense. I'm going to go Clerks 2. Tusk.
Stop it.
To Kevin Smith eyes, a movie.
Yeah. So basically, you know, we know
we talk about Kevin Smith a lot.
Well, we've had, I think, this episode and Tusk that we've talked about him.
The old Tuskegee.
Tuskegee Airmen. No.
Do you need a little bit more time, Adam? Because I know mine.
Yeah, I'll take another minute.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mine is, now Kevin Smith, to me, not only does his movies have some great comedy in it, which is what we always look for.
Great graphics, too.
Great, awesome graphics. But he has some great dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what other writer, producer, star also does a lot of great dialogue?
Michael Bay.
No. Oh. He does explosions very good.
Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino, exactly. I would love to see him redo, and I mentioned this early in the broadcast, that's why I it was on the top of my head. Reservoir Dogs, yes. Not only do you, I mean, the scenes like in the diner and the scenes in the warehouse, all these awesome dialogue scenes, and then see how Kevin Smith brings a little bit of comedy into the horror that is this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is not a comedy in the least. And to see what he could do, how he could bring, because we know he can do horror to some effect with comedy because of Tusk.
Yep.
We've already mentioned that. Dogma technically is, you know, a little bit of, it's an adult themed, you know, think, you know, there's religion, there's all this kind of
but
stuff.
But it's still a Jay and Silent Bob movie.
And there's some murder in it.
Yep.
And just to see what he could do with a reboot of Reservoir Dogs, because I know the dialogue's going to be there, and maybe he could pull it together and make
Tusk
it
was
even...
horror. I mean,
yep.
No, no, that's what I said. I did bring that up if you were listening 30 seconds ago.
I was not.
he's trying.
I was thinking about my own movies. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, this is like that one time when I wasn't listening and Adam piped, this is like we just said that.
Yeah, what an idiot.
You mean like every couple weeks?
Shut it.
Just kidding, man.
I think that's
but
a good
that's
pick,
my
Reservoir
pick.
Dogs.
Yes.
That's
okay, I'm going to go with something a little different.
Yeah.
Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh.
For the sheer reason that I know Kevin Smith is a huge Star Wars fan.
Oh, yeah.
He's passionate about it. When they were building the Millennium Falcon and he visited the set for episode 7, he talked about how he was overcome with emotion and like that. I thought in retrospect, now that I've seen Last Jedi a few times, I'm just not a big fan of it. Mm-hmm. I would actually prefer, I think that he might actually have done a better job with it just based on his passion for Star Wars. So
yeah,
that's mine.
Very good.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to add on to that because I mean, yes, The Last Jedi was not perfect. But man, he really needed to do the Phantom Menace and maybe turn that into something we could watch.
Oh.
Am I right?
Oh yeah.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag. Am I right?
Well, I'm gonna throw.
Right? Hashtag.
Janie, get to bed.
She wants another $5. No, I'm gonna throw two more at you. Just something to think about. The one is going to be a general idea.
Don't throw a tumor at us.
Yeah, two more. It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
No,
it's not the Tomb Raider.
I'm thinking about he's done well with, he's directed a number of episodes of Flash and Supergirl and done really well in that scape. Now, he's the first to tell you he's not one of these directors that's going to be a visionary like Christopher Nolan or, you know, any of these guys that are doing these amazingly beautiful cinematic movies, right? So he's not really super interested in tackling.
Wow,
a ton
I hope
of
he's
special
not listening
effects.
Right now.
He will be the first to tell you he wants no part of doing a Star Wars movie because he doesn't want to ruin his own childhood like passion.
Well, I'm not talking about redoing the ones from when he was.
Yeah,
a
yeah,
child.
No, exactly. But what I mean is he's. He's very open about he's not the type of director that's going to do a big Avengers Infinity War, for example. That's not his style. But
I agree.
There is one kind of hero-based movie I would love to see him do because it does focus so much on story and dialogue, and that is I'd love to see his take on The Watchmen.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, any comic book film.
Yep, I mean, The Watchmen, I think, would be a great one because there is action, there are heroes and there's stuff, but it's not as crazy as, like, an Infinity War or something like that, and so much of it is story and dialogue-driven. Now, the other thing is, How fun would it be to see Kevin Smith tackle some of our classic horror movies from when we were growing up? Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, you know, some of these classic, the Leprechaun movies with the wisecracking Leprechaun with Kevin Smith humor in there, Chucky, some of those where he could have fun.
Right there, you just hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
Because bringing his, because Chucky did have, especially in like two and three, I think they had quite a bit of, you know, funny parts in it. I think I want my Nightmare on Elm Street to be scary. I want my Friday the 13th to be scary.
Yeah, but they weren't after a while, though. There was, Freddy always had little one-liners. Yeah,
Freddy did get, because he became so popular.
Yeah.
Now, Jason and Michael Myers, but Michael Myers is doing great right now. Yeah. We don't want them to change anything.
Well, yeah, and those characters don't
talk. This new one looks amazing. Have you guys seen the trailers for the new Halloween?
Yep.
Oh, man, I want to see it. But, you know,
Chucky. We have to wait till Christmas for it to come on.
Christmas. It's like a week before Halloween it comes out, you idiot.
Idiot. Nice. No, Chucky, though, you were saying, yes.
Yeah, I think he would do good on that one. Yeah. Just don't touch my Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. Get your chocolate out of my peanut butter, you're saying.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Hey, I think it might be time for a little Gunna Geek.
That is right, but no music?
Hold on.
That's the music's Adam. Coming. I don't have a Gunna Geek.
Hold on. Coming. That's what.
Hey, I do music before the Weekly Garnish and only during the read on Gunna Geek.
We are doing, as you guys know, we are very proud members of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. You can find a ton of great shows over at GunnaGeek.com and go check them out. Thanks. Oh, you want me to read a show?
No.
Oh, you can mention one if you want.
Just kidding.
Mention it.
Yeah, so what we'll mention this week is a show over there. We've talked about our U.S. version of this called Game Life Balance U.S. Well, we also have the international version called Game Life Balance Australia. Now, their most recent copy is not quite up to date. It says don't read it past the 19th. But what they are is essentially the sister show or brother show or cousin show, whatever you want to call it, to Game Life Balance US, in which they talk about gaming. They talk about how to, you know, still be a responsible adult and parent and all of these other things and balance that with being able to still play games. So it's a lot of fun, a fantastic show. Both of the Game Life Balance shows are a lot of fun, actually. So check those out over at GunnaGeek.com. And tell them Digital Soup sent you.
Yeah, and when you listen to the show, you hear a lot of crikeys and wallabies.
The dingo stole my baby. Watch out for drop beers.
The garnish.
So,
nice. It's the best I could do today. I'm just not in.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
He just doesn't care about the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. No, that's fine. So, Jason.
That's fine.
That's fine. Adam doesn't care. He doesn't do show prep. As long as he plays music, I don't care. I'm kidding.
Oh, let the monkey play the drum. That's
I'm the drummer. Wait.
That's true.
Dang it. I'm a monkey.
I don't have a drum sound on this keyboard. Otherwise, I would.
So we've got the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate GameCube controller here as the Weekly Garnish. Jason, this was you putting this in?
Yes, and I specifically put it in because of our discussion we had last week with one of the other gentlemen from the Gunna Geek Network, Chris Farrell.
Yes.
And he had mentioned it, and I saw that it was available for pre-order. And it looks awesome, and I wanted to bring this, bring this to our listeners, you know, because we talk about it. Now you can go ahead and click on the link and take a looky at it.
Very cool.
And what it is a GameCube controller that is compatible with the Nintendo Switch. No dongle needed.
Mm. No dongle?
No dongle, aka adapter needed. Hmm. It is native to the Switch.
No. Hmm.
So you'll be able to play your Super Smash Brothers with your
now,
controller that you love.
Let me ask you something.
This doesn't even exist yet.
No, it's a pre-order thing, it looks like. But.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, that was the. Okay, I was trying to remember what the GameCube controller looked like. Because for some reason, I kept picturing the N64, and I'm like, why would they do that?
Well, click on the link and take a look at it real
fast. I've got it. I'm looking at it right now. Pre-order price, $30, so absolutely affordable. Very cool.
Yeah, much cheaper than the controller I bought today.
Will this work on any Switch game?
You would need a dongle for the Switch, though.
No. This is Switch compatible. To this, you could use an actual GameCube controller with a dongle.
What you're seeing there, Adam,
you put in here.
At E3 2018, Nintendo did confirm that existing GameCube controllers will be compatible with the game via an adapter. But if you don't have any or are interested in adding more to your collection, you can now pre-order. That kind of sounds like you're pre-ordering a dongle. But no, this does not need a dongle. It's supposed to be native.
Not according to the description.
You know what? Let me pull up the description. I'm going to read it.
The question's an answer. Are these compatible with Switch? Yes, but you also need an adapter to hook them up to the Switch.
You're not supposed to need an adapter.
Well, it looks like a baby's toy. The thing is,
just a GameCube controller.
Well, it must be something different. It's rebranded.
It's got the Smash Brothers icon on it. I mean, you're getting something with the logo.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm completely wrong, but I mean, why wouldn't you just buy a $5 dongle and a $5 used GameCube controller?
This is from Nintendo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says
it's an actual
official
Nintendo device.
Yes. It's supposed to be.
Tell you what, listeners, go buy this and tell us. Settle this once and for all. See if you need the dongle, because it does show that they, total price frequently bought together with the affiliate link we've got in there shows the controller, the dongle, which lets you plug in up to four controllers, which Chris was mentioning, and Super Mario Party as well, which is another game taking advantage of this. So I don't know if it looks like it's a USB connection into the Switch.
Yeah, see, the Switch has USB Type-C. And I do see one of these people here are confirming from the picture that that's a USB-C connection, not an actual GameCube.
How can you tell, though? I mean, it's a straight down shot. That'd be nice if it was, though, because it's the Q&A that's really screwing with this.
I was so confused here because I thought this was, the official Switch version of the GameCube controller, not just a another GameCube controller that you need a dongle.
It looks like they may have updated something because they are saying the platform for this is the Nintendo Switch. So it might be just a bit of a rebranding and re-release of the classic controller made specifically to use with a Switch, although they're saying looks like it will work with the GameCube and stuff as well.
I'm going to do one more search while you guys talk about
this. We're going to solve this like right meow.
We don't want to give any bad information to you guys. I'm curious, while you guys are looking stuff up, I'm curious to know, on this season of The Bachelorette, I want to know if she's going to send Johnny home.
Shut it!
Wrong episode? No. I was just filling. I thought I was doing good. No, what I am curious to know, though, is I haven't heard from too many of our listeners at all. I know Chris has a Switch, but other than Chris, I'm wondering if any of our listeners actually have a Switch and use them, because I haven't heard too many people that actually have them. That everyone that you do hear of, Jason, you have someone in your family, I think, that has one in your in-law family, I think. But I thought I remember you saying, and I know Chris loves his, and you hear people say they love them, mostly for the portability factor, and the games are just fun. Nintendo's doing things right with the fun, but it seems like I also haven't heard very many people personally that I know that are using the Switch. So I'd be curious to hear from listeners on that. And what's your experience has been now, what is it, a year and a half out, year out? Switch has got to be a year old.
I think I'm completely wrong. All my investigation now is showing that you will need an adapter for this.
Yeah. So I agree with you on your original point of why not just go down to the GameStop and get a $4, $5 controller. Maybe if you can't find one or you're one of those people that it has to be brand new then, and you want an actual Nintendo one.
Let's be honest, though. At $29.99 for a brand new controller, that's really not bad.
Well, it kind of is when you think that it is wired, doesn't have any force feedback.
And you need
it's a lacking a lot of the things that the modern $60 controllers do have.
Yeah, but Microsoft, the controller I use, the Xbox controller I use right now, I don't think it's an Xbox One. I think it's an Xbox 360 controller, possibly.
Yeah, that's what I use on my PC.
But that's wired. So, no force feedback on my PC. I don't feel it vibrating or doing anything like that. And that's about $30 brand new right now. Even an Xbox One wired controller is about $30 right now.
In Cast, I just popped a link in there for Best Buy, which is for the old... this was a GameCube controller they marketed for the Wii U.
Yep.
And if you look at the picture, it's basically... Perfectly
it's the
identical.
Same picture.
It's a, well, just the only no difference
logo.
Is that logo.
Except the logo's different.
But if you look closely at like the connector in that Amazon shot, there's little indentations on the sides. Yeah. That's actually a GameCube controller flipped upside down, or you know, the rounded part is underneath. Man.
All right. So what we're saying here, Nintendo, is we definitely need a first party official Switch GameCube controller that does not need a dongle. Thank you.
True. Well, that.
But if you got like a GameCube controller adapter where you could plug in four controllers and you can have
yeah, that looks pretty cool.
That'd be kind of neat.
And that's $20 to add on. Which
And then if you need some friends, you can get a bundle where
hey,
you can get
there's
to,
three of us right here.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about you can get there's an Asian friends. Kid, a blonde girl, a black kid, and then some surfer dude.
Oh. How convenient.
What's a guy's name from Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Spicoli?
Yeah. That's
Mr.
what I
Mr. Hand.
This is you're correct. This is the most culturally diverse shot they could have come up with. Well, yeah. There's only one woman in there.
Well, to wrap things up, guys, Adam, before you do the spiel and get us out of here, I do want to say a special little shout out to someone because we had Chris on last week from the official Gonna Geek show, All Things Good and Nerdy, and we talked all about E3. And then We kind of inadvertently offended one of the other members of the All Things Good and Nerdy program in one Mr. Willie Nelson. And we do want to apologize. We did not think you were back yet from California in your E3 trip. So that's why we asked Chris to come on last minute, thought it would be
fun. You
got to
do air quotes on that, buddy.
I'm running with the joke, but no.
Adam's like, what?
Willie, in the last episode of All Things Good and Nerdy was expressing a little, what would you call it? He wasn't angry. He was just like, man, why didn't they have me on? I'm the games guy. I know more than Chris. So
yeah, he's like, he basically said, Chris, you're an idiot. You don't know games. They should have had me on there.
And I don't know. I thought Chris did a pretty darn good job. So we are going to have to look at down the road a little bit, pulling Willie over onto the show and see if we can have him come on and we'll talk some gaming with him because that'd be a
lot. But I'm going to have to get my dump button ready for when he's on.
Yep, Willie, if you're on, you're going to have to
family friendly.
Family friendly, my man. But yeah, just a little shout out. We hear you, man, and we weren't snubbing you intentionally here. So, Adam.
No, we just knew Chris didn't have a life. You know, he didn't have a show that night, so he was probably just sitting at home watching Golden Girls. So we figured, hey, let's give him a call.
You cannot stop trying to stir up trouble with poor Chris. Man.
Oh, come on, Chris. You know we love you.
We all do. Right.
You know you're our favorite on the Gonna Geek
Network. Oh, no. Remember, you were the one that came out and said Digital Soup was Team Willie. In the
well, that was the Willie Naki thing. That wasn't Willie Chris.
Oh, so Chris beats Willie, but Willie beats Naki, you're saying?
Chris beats Willie? Are you serious? You just said that?
I did not mean it that way. Oh.
Yeah, like you never did, Dave.
Anyways, go over to GunnaGeek.com. Check out All Things Good and Nerdy, the official Gunna Geek podcast, and all those other great shows.
Oh, I got to isolate that.
Hear who all these fantastic people are we're talking about. And we do appreciate them reaching out and plugging us on their shows as well. So, Adam, before I say anything else that's going to get me, you know, sound clipped,
I'll take it from
here.
So, guys, stick around. At the end of our show, we have yet another wonderful music track from the WannaCry. This time, we have a song called Angel's Smile. So definitely stick around. Check that out. Also, upcoming in the future, we have another segment that we're going to resurrect back from last April. And by last April, I don't mean this last April. I mean the one from last year. Another Dear Digital Soup is going to be coming up in the near future where we actually respond to your questions. In your letters, almost like we know what we're talking about. But disclaimer already, we don't. For everything that you ever wanted to know about the Digital Soup Podcast, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com where you can find all of our social media, all of our links, everything. Interact with us. Hit subscribe anywhere where you listen to podcasts. We'd love to talk to you. And of course, we thank you for listening. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you guys out there, have a wonderful week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, dongleless GameCube controller.
Gators.
Of mine, despite what you go through, never show a single sign of how it affects you. Me, I'm like an open book, you get what you see. Of all this every day, all this cannot hide. So take my hand and lift me up. Only you can set me free.